Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. We will not be starting there, but we will eventually be getting there. So I hope that you will bear with me. It is frequent in our life where we come up against issues. We come up against tribulations and trials. And if you are a Christian, your reflex reaction ought to be, and I hope is, that you turn to God and you pray. And when we do that, we expect God to hear us, do we not? We expect God to listen to our words. We expect Him to hear our voices, and with good reason. He has given us promises. He has given us His word that teaches us that He does hear. And we have examples of Christians throughout the Word of God who did the same. You can think of the Old Testament saints. You can think of David and his cries of forgiveness and for forgiveness in Psalm 51. He is doing that with the expectation that God will hear him, that God's ear will be in tune to what David is saying. And we see that a lot in the Psalms. Psalm 4, David, he's saying, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." And we have that sentiment and that phraseology throughout the Psalms and throughout the Old Testament. Hear my prayer. There is even so much so that if you are in an Anglican group, they actually repeat that. Hear our prayer, O Lord. As though it's some mantra that will open God's ear. But thankfully, we have God's word that He listens, that He hears our prayer. People mistakenly think that they will always get what they want, or if they don't get what they want, that God hasn't heard them. God hears us at all times, and we can be grateful for that. We have Nehemiah fervently asking God in the first chapter of his book, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant." When Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem and its state, he prayed for months before he ever approached the king. That's something that we ought to be considering, that we ought to be praying more fervently than we do. But it's all based on that expectation. It's all based on the expectation that God will hear us, that God wants to hear us, to hear what we ask of Him. And time would fail us if we went through all the examples in the Old Testament to see all of the times that the people of God are calling unto Him, stating, "Hear my prayer. Hear me, O Lord." It is throughout the Scriptures. When we come to the New Testament, we have the disciples coming together and saying, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to do it. Teach us what we're supposed to do." And you get the sense from those passages that they're saying, you know, we want to make sure that we're following the right prescription so that we can make sure that God hears us. And Jesus teaches them to pray, and so many people just repeat the Lord's Prayer, thinking that somehow just saying the words will have power with God. No, it's a model prayer for us to follow the pattern that He has laid down for us. Because it is important to understand and to start off when we pray, recognizing that everything that happens is under God's hand, under His control. And that His will is the best will to have done, not my own will. I could hope and think that this may be the right course of action, but I may be wrong. I can rest assured that that is not the case with God. And Jesus teaches them that when they pray, they have to have a change of mind and a change of heart to focus on God's will. And then it's suddenly not so much about God hearing our prayers, is it? It changes that focus. James tells us in chapter 4 of his book that we pray amiss. He says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." You know, over and over again when we pray, we're constantly thinking of what we want. And we want God to hear us. Too often we are distracted from what God is saying. Too often we expect God to hear us, and yet we don't listen to Him. We don't listen to His Word. In the Old Testament, there is a phrase that is used so often that I had to stop counting. And it is having ears to hear, not what someone else is saying, but what God is saying. Having ears to hear. And we're going to see in a few moments in the New Testament, but I want you to think about this. This is throughout the Word of God. It is constantly being reiterated, not so much that we have to ask God to hear us, but God is saying, you need to hear me. You need to hear what I'm saying. You need to have ears to hear. Having ears to hear is not just listening to the words that are said. Something is going to take place and you're going to be different. In the Pentateuch, in Exodus 15, Moses, after he has thrown the tree into the waters of Marah, God speaks to Israel and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Jehovah thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am Jehovah that healeth thee. You see, too often, the Israelites heard God's word, but they didn't hear God's word. They didn't hearken. You know, to hearken is different than just listening, isn't it? Because there's action that follows. Because it's taking in what is said and having it become a part of who you are. And then your actions are changed because of it. That is what to hearken means. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. See, that's to hearken. That's to truly hear. It's to take in what is there and for it to become a part of you and change your direction. You know, I can ask my children to do something. I can tell my children to do something. And they can hear with their ears, and they can sit still. Now, did they hearken unto me? Did they have ears to listen? No. They're being disobedient. They heard my words, but hearing with their ears wasn't enough. They had to have ears to hear. There had to be something that says, no, I need to listen because that's my Father speaking to me. I need to obey what He has to say. And too often we sit and we hear God's word, but we don't hear God's word. It doesn't change us in the inner man. In the time of the kings, it's used in thankfulness. David in 2 Samuel, he says, in my distress I called upon Jehovah and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. You know, it's that he says, you know, God heard me. And David is the prime example of someone who did hear with a hearing ear. You know, Hezekiah uses it repeatedly. And he lays a letter before the Lord in the temple and he cries out, Lord, hear what Sennacherib is saying against you. Hear with your ears. And of course, God moves and God acts on defense of Israel, of Judah, and in defense of Hezekiah. And that's what we want. But that's not what we do. Time would fail us if we listed all of the times the psalmist uses that notion in Proverbs and the prophets. The hardest thing, if you for those here that have preached or even do a presentation, usually the hardest thing to do is to figure out what to leave out. It's not what to put in. It's you've got so much material. How do you trim it down into a period of time that people will listen to you, that they'll hear with their ears? And that was really a struggle for me with this message, because there is so much in the Old Testament and in the New regarding having ears to hear what God says to us. Because it's so much, so often we're expecting in prayer for God to hear us. But so little of our time is spent hearing what God has to say. If you would be willing to take up a challenge, I would say to challenge you to be like the Bereans, not those in Herod, but the Bereans in the book of Acts, who, when they heard Paul speak, They said, we're going to look in God's word and we're going to investigate to see what he says is true or not. And they found that it was true and they believed. I would challenge you today to be like that and to look in this book and do a word search on the ear and see how it's used by God's people and see how it's used by God to reinforce that we have to be much more diligent to hear with an ear. You know, in Psalm 1, when it is speaking, when the psalmist speaks there, and he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know that word meditate? It's the same word that's used for a cow chewing its cud. Because a cow will get some grass or whatever it's going to eat and get it in its mouth and chew it up and swallow it. And then its body says it's not digestible yet. So it brings it back up and it chews it again. And that process will continue until the cow can take in what it's chewing. Well, that's what that word meditate in the Hebrew actually means. To keep chewing on the Word of God until it becomes a part of you. Until it changes who you are. Just as the cow brings in that food and it changes its body. And the Word of God is calling us to be like that. How do we do that? We have an ear to hear. It's a phrase that Jesus loves to use. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Over and over again, people heard him teach. And yet the same people who heard him teach were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Why? Because they didn't have ears to hear. He uses it in the Gospels. In Matthew, when he's speaking about John the Baptist in chapter 11, he says, have an ear to hear that this is John, that this is Elijah come in the Spirit. When giving the parable of the sower and the seed in chapter 13, speaking about the Gospel and its effect, he says, you have to have ears to hear. When he tells the disciples and explains the parables, he quotes Isaiah 6. He quotes Isaiah 6 where Isaiah is before the Lord in heaven in his vision. And he says, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. And then the Lord gives him what he's going to do. And he says, you're going to go and you're going to talk. But they're not going to have eyes to see and they're not going to have ears to hear. In Mark, he says it repeatedly. When he speaks about letting your candle shine, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. When he's telling people that it is what is inside that defiles you, not what is outside. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And we don't think about this, but that is one of the most revolutionary statements that had ever been made. That it is not what you eat that is the problem. It's what's inside of you that's the problem. Eating with dirty hands, is it necessarily good hygiene? No. But that is not the problem that mankind has. The problem mankind has is what's already in the heart. And that flows outside of him. And he says, if you have an ear to hear, listen. And let it affect what you do. Here in Mark chapter 8, our scripture reading, he's rebuking the disciples for not understanding him. For not getting the notion that he can make as much bread as he wants to make. Anytime he wants to make it. He is the bread of heaven. And here they've just seen the miracles. They've just seen the feeding of the 4,000 just 2 days before. And he rebukes them and says, don't you get it? Don't you have an ear to hear what I've been saying to you? I'm not speaking about bread. I can multiply that one little loaf that's not enough for even one man to have a meal, for all of us to have more than enough. In Luke, when he's done coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he heals the man's son, Jesus tells the disciples to let those words, the words of power that he's telling them, let them sink into their ears. When he talks about converting counting the cost, sorry, I got my consonants mixed up there, concerning counting the cost of following Jesus, he says, you better listen because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you everything. He uses it over and over again in the book of Revelation. In chapters 2 and 3, he concludes each letter that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit says? Do you have an ear to hear what Jesus Christ says. He uses it again in John chapter 3:13, when the description of the beast that rises up out of the sea, and the details of those that worship that beast. He says, if your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll worship the beast. And he says, you have to hear what God's Word is saying. A future is coming that is not a pleasant one. Hear what God is saying. There is comfort there. There is strength there to be had, but only if you have an ear to hear. It is used one final time in chapter 22, which we'll notice in a little moment. So why is it so often that this is used? Why is it so often in the Old Testament and by the Lord Jesus Christ himself that it is used so much that he that hath an ear, let him hear? Well, I would say it's because of the unfortunate circumstances of having ears and not listening. Hearing words, but not taking those words in, and living our lives exactly the same. You know, when we sit together and we hear God's word preached, or we hear God's word taught, or we worship him in song, we ought to be different. So that when we leave a service of the Lord's people, we ought to be different people than when we walked in. Because his word should become a part of us. That's what it is to have an ear to hear. Jeremiah chapter 6, he says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of Jehovah is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of Jehovah. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith Jehovah. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They have an uncircumcised ear. They don't have an ear to hear what God is saying. And you have to feel for the prophet Jeremiah. God calls him when he's young and he says, look, you're going to preach for me, and they're never going to listen to you. They're not going to hear you. They're never going to take it in. Oh, they'll hear the words and they'll be offended by it, but it will never change them. They do not have ears to hear. And that's exactly what he tells them. They can't hearken. The word of God to them is a reproach to them. It turns them about. It sends them in a different direction. That's a horrible thing to think upon, isn't it? How often in our world today is that same circumstance playing out? That the word of God is a reproach to people. That they do not want to hear it. That they mock those that speak it. We think of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Jehovah hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten. as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them, and they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. That's a horrible sentiment to think upon, isn't it? That here Jehovah is saying to Isaiah, I want you to go and preach, but I want you to do it in such a way that they will not understand, that they will not hear, they will not listen, that their eyes will be heavy and their ears will be heavy. They won't have any idea because they have no interest. You know, it is often said that the worst famine that a land could go through is a famine of the word. Equally, it is horrible to think that even if the word is preached, they will not listen. Will we listen? We read Mark chapter 8 in our scripture reading because of this rebuke that Jesus gives his disciples. Here is the Son of God walking upon the earth. Here is the Son of God teaching, displaying his power, displaying who he is. He has fed 5,000 with 12 loaves. He has fed 4,000 with 7 loaves. He has done so many amazing things that these men have witnessed. And as they're in the boat and they're going along, and Jesus is warning them to steer away from the teaching of the Pharisees and of Herod, and he calls their teaching leaven. And he's saying that because of how insidious and intrusive that teaching can be. And it can wither away the whole body. He says, don't go near that. And they're sitting there thinking, he's saying this because we only brought one loaf. He's saying this because we only have this one small bun that isn't even a meal for one of us, let alone all 13 of us. And of course, Jesus knows exactly what they're saying. And he rebukes them and says, how long have you been with me? How long has it been? You saw what we did when I fed the 5,000. How many basketfuls took you up? 12. When I fed the 4,000, you took up how many? 7. And yet you still don't get it. You still don't have ears to hear and eyes to see. You don't understand. How is that possible? And we can sit and we can look at the disciples and we can sit back and say, yep, they were dense. They just didn't get it. They just didn't understand what Jesus was saying. But yet we walk away from hearing God's word and we're not changed. Do we have ears to hear? Do we have an ear that hears so that we take it in and it changes who we are and we walk away a different person? That's what Jesus is talking about. You see, they should have heard the word of God. They should have heard the theology and it should have changed them. They should have been sitting in the boat listening intently to what Jesus said, not worried about the food. Because they recognize that God is sovereign, that Jesus Christ is sovereign, that if he wanted to, he could bring a wave that would take them to the coast and there would be a banquet sitting there. That he could start breaking that one loaf and they could all eat. See, what they had seen in the theology of who Jesus Christ was should have impacted them and impacted them in their ears and their hearts and changed them so that they no longer cared about the food. Because they recognized Jesus is God. He's the Christ. He's the one. He can do anything. I need to listen to his words because that's what's important. See, over and over again in the book of Mark, what do we have? We have teaching. Where Jesus stops doing miracles so that he can teach. Now, we don't have the expanded messages that we have in John and in Matthew. But over and over again, we have this message that Jesus left off what he was doing to teach the word of God. To teach. Do we have ears to hear? Think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. When he's preaching to the council, he says he's stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. He do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what Jeremiah said, isn't it? Uncircumcised ears. He says, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the fathers have not your... Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You see, here's Stephen, and he says, you've got uncircumcised ears just like your fathers did. You're going to do to me just as they did with the other prophets, just as you have done with Jesus Christ, the prophet that was to come. You've had the law and you didn't listen. You've had the word of God and you didn't hear. And they rush upon him, and they gnash upon him with their teeth. And he looks up at the heaven and he sees the Lord. And he speaks. And they say, we can't take it. And they run at him. And it's almost, if it wasn't for the fact that Stephen dies here, it's almost a comical scene. Of all of these men in the council, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, rushing at Stephen with their hands over their ears, so that they cannot hear what he has to say. They've already been cut to the heart. They've been convicted. And yet they rush at him, covering their ears, because they do not want to hear it again. Are we any different? What does it mean to have a hearing ear? Well, it means to believe. Think of Isaiah 35. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Now I believe that this is a specific prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it has a dual fulfillment. It has a fulfillment in his ministry, because he clearly opened the eyes of the blind. He clearly opened the ears of the deaf so that they could have an ear to hear. He clearly made the lame leap as in heart. But you know what each one of us that are believers here today were before he saved us? We were blind. We were deaf. And we were lame. In his miracle in saving my soul, he has given me eyes to see. That's why John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. Once I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but guess what? I didn't have an ear to hear God's word. Do you know what he's given me? An ear to hear. And it is my responsibility to hear. I need to listen. I need to study. It needs to change who I am, that I don't go through my life in the same manner that I did before, because God's word has come in. And he tells me that what will I do? I'll leap as in heart. There will be action that flows from my open eyes and my open ears to hear God. So that there is that dual fulfillment that it proves him to be the Christ when the blind man sees, when the deaf man hears, and when the lame man leaps up. But it's still proving it today when someone trusts Christ, when someone comes to faith in him and their eyes are opened to spiritual truths they couldn't see before. And their ears are open to the Word of God. And they take it in. And it changes them. And it moves them in a different way than they were moved before. Because belief leads to action. It leads to action. In Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Jehovah thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, if I was to stand here and say to you that right now there is a fire raging in the vestibule, there's a fire raging behind those doors, and I continue to preach, Would you believe me? No. And then you'd have to question my sanity. But you wouldn't believe me. Now if I said there's a fire raging out there and I jumped off this podium and ran out the doors, would you believe me? Most likely. And if you believe me, what would you do? Well, you would at least look to see if there was a fire raging, because belief leads to action. And if you saw then the fire raging and your belief was confirmed, you'd get up and leave the building too. That's the nature of it. When you believe something, you act upon it. James 1, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You see, back before modern days, they didn't have mirrors. The only way that you could see yourself in the days of James was if there was a calm pool of water and you'd see your reflection. Or if there was a polished piece of metal. Usually that was concave or convex, and so your image was going to be distorted. So you would only see yourself once every few years. So you would forget what you look like. Nowadays, it's almost impossible to forget what you look like. Why? Because people are always running around with these phones taking selfies of themselves. Instead of taking pictures of the beautiful scenery, they're taking a picture of themselves while they're looking at the beautiful scenery. We're so focused on us that we don't see. Well, that's what James is talking about. People forget what they look like. That's why we have so many mirrors. That's why we have all of these things. He said that's exactly what it's like to hear God's word and do nothing, to not be changed. Because belief, when you hear it, you believe it, it changes you and you act upon it. You become a doer of the word. And not only are you a doer of the word, your action leads to exhortation for others. In Jeremiah 6, that same passage where he was rebuking them for uncircumcised ears, he says, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." See, Jehovah is speaking to them, and he says, listen, I want you to ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Where is the way of salvation? You said, we're not going to walk therein. We're not going to listen. He says, but then I set watchmen over you, those that had the trumpet, to blare unto you the way. And they said, we're not going to listen. We don't have ears to hear. What are those watchmen? They're people that believe the word of God. They're people that believe Jehovah and have followed him. It's what a Christian is today. It is the responsibility of every believer to do what? Not to become an evangelist like Paul, but to speak forth the truth that they believe. You don't have to be a perfect theologian. What do you have to be? A Christian whom God has saved. And then you share that. You exhort others to believe what you believe. If I had the cure for cancer with my brother over in the United States suffering and dying from it, do you think I'd stay quiet? No, I tell him about it so that he wouldn't have it any longer. I have the cure for sin. It's in this book. If I believe it, and I've acted upon it, and I follow after Jesus Christ because I have an ear to hear, then it is my responsibility to exhort others to hear, to listen to what God has to say. In Revelation 22, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Did you notice there in the middle? Let him that heareth say, come. That's every Christian. Every single one that has had their ears opened by the Son of God. He says, you've heard. Now tell others to come. Now come and tell others to hear. Now tell others about what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to be a perfect theologian, because there isn't one. You have to be someone who loves Jesus Christ, believes his word, and follows him. And tell other people about him. That's the call to have an ear that hears. That's what it's about. It's not being, I've heard it, I've taken the truth in, and it hasn't changed me. No, it changes you. That's what having a hearing ear is all about. You hear the word of God. You believe the word of God. Your actions change because of the word of God, and you exhort others to do the same. That's having an ear that hears what God has to say. That is open to who he is, to following after him. And that is the exhortation over and over again. Jesus says it here in Mark 8, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Do you have a hearing ear? Do you have an ear that hears the word of God, that believes the word of God, changes you, and then you follow after? We need to continually be doing just as that cow. We have to be chewing on the word of God so that we understand it. He doesn't expect us to have perfect understanding, but he does expect us to believe what we understand. He expects us to follow after him. He expects us to be salt and light in a dying world. Not closed off, sitting down and saying, oh, I'm okay. Everyone else around me is perishing. No, we need to be telling them about Jesus Christ, just as Jeremiah did, just as Isaiah did, even if their ears are closed. That's not on us. That's on them. That's their responsibility. That's not my responsibility. But I am told to exhort. I am told to exhort if I believe, if I have an ear that hears. Do you have an ear to hear Jesus Christ today? We point you to him. Amen.